The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Presenting Miss Barbara Lawrence, a star of the future, in Strange Courtship. Now, here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Lester Mitchell.
Thank you, Van Desitel. This week, the Skippy Hollywood Theater completes its 300th broadcast, and in celebration, we're presenting this special series. In a moment, you'll meet our beautiful and talented young star. But first, I'd like to introduce a lovely lady who will be your hostess for the next few weeks. Recognized nationally as a famous Hollywood theatrical coach, Lily Rogers is not only well-known as a writer, director, and actress, but as a woman who is never too busy to guide young hopefuls along the path to stardom. She is the discoverer and coach of such personalities as Lucille Ball, Alan Curtis, Anita Colby, Russell Hayden, Betty Grable, and, of course, her own daughter and famous star, Miss Ginger Rogers.
Thank you, Les. You're very flattering, and I'm very excited.
Excited because you have the opportunity of helping some more young people. You know, that's wonderful. And let me tell you, Lila Rogers, we think we're very fortunate indeed in having you with us. And so are those six talented young actors for whom you are prophesying stardom in the succeeding week.
Well, Les, I'm very pleased to bring these young stars to the attention of our audience. And I think it's particularly appropriate that we begin our series with the youngest of our group. In just a moment, we want you to meet Miss Barbara Lawrence.
Thank you, Lila Rogers. Before we begin, here's a word from Van Desitel.
A magazine article I read recently said there are at least a dozen decidedly different type of women shoppers. There's Mrs. Timid, Mrs. Hard to Please, Mrs. I'm Just Looking, and so on. But my favorite is Mrs. Cautious. According to this article, she's the type of woman who must have proof the product is good before she'll buy. As such, I think she's an ideal prospect for Skippy peanut butter. She can actually see that Skippy is good before she buys. She can see that Skippy has no messy floating oil. That's ample proof that Skippy never needs stirring. It's proof, too, that Skippy is fresh peanut butter, and Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. And the prudent shopper can't help but notice that tempting Skippy aroma, an aroma that promises a true flavor of plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. So if there's a Mrs. Cautious among the housewives you know, won't you please ask her to simply examine a jar of Skippy on her grocer's shelf? We'll appreciate it very much, and I'm sure she will, too.
And here's our star of the future, the young lady from 20th Century Fox, who scored a sensational hit in Margie, Miss Barbara Lawrence. A number of people join me in predicting stardom for you, Barbara.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Rogers. It's a very great thrill to have been chosen by you for this series. And now, in turn, I'd like to introduce my co-star, Johnny Fontaine.
Good evening. I don't know about you, Barbara, but I'll have to confess. I have a serious case of butterflies in my tummy.
Johnny, I know exactly how you feel, and I've been through it myself. I suppose every performer has, but I'm sure that you and Barbara are going to come through with flying colors. We'll hear more from both of you after the play.
And now the Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Strange Courtship, written by Ray Wilson and starring Miss Barbara Lawrence and Johnny Fontaine. Now, curtain going up, places everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here is the play. This story could have happened in almost any country of the world, but let's say it happened in our own Southwest. One bright spring morning, a girl went loping along on her shabby little horse. She rode across her father's ranch, and as she rode, she came upon a handsome young chap feasting on a huge piece of meat. She stopped her horse and waited for him to speak. She waited and waited and waited. At last, he said,
"Morning."
"Good morning. What are you doing, mister?"
"Eating a sheep."
"And whose sheep are you eating?"
"I guess it belongs to whoever owns this land. I took it from the herd that's grazing over..."
"My father owns this land."
"Oh, Well, have a piece of your father's sheep.
Mister, what do you think would happen if I told him you'd killed and eaten one of his sheep?
Nothing?
Oh, yes. My father's as strong as two ordinary men.
Well, miss, your father'd never believe you. Everybody knows I've been dead since last Thursday.
Oh.
So if you told him I was...
Dead?
Yeah.
Are you a ghost? A real ghost?
Ask anybody.
Oh, my.
I was killed last Thursday by my best friend. Maybe you know him. Leonard Ryan.
A real ghost?
Why, he's probably already spent the reward he got for killing me. $50.
Oh, my.
This sheep would still be better if I had some salt when I cooked it.
Mister, could I touch you?
Why?
Your arm with the tips of my fingers.
Go ahead.
Oh, my.
Solid, eh?
Mister, I think I'd better be going, and right now, I must go. It's not that I'm afraid of a ghost, it's just that... Well, I'd better be going. Good morning!
Must be a little crazy. Come back. Why?
To bring the salt. You said salt would make my father's sheep taste better, so I brought some.
Thanks. I'll help you down off your horse.
Can I touch you again, sir?
Go ahead.
Oh, my.
This is an awful lot of salt. How many sheep do you think I can eat, miss?
You've been a ghost only since last Thursday, sir?
Yeah. Leonard Ryan killed me.
Then I know who you are. You're Bill Cabot. I mean, you were Bill Cabot.
Call me Bill. It'll save time.
I'm Jane Mason.
Howdy.
The whole town's talking about what a hero Leonard Ryan is for killing you. They say you put up an awful fight.
Well, you have to remember, Leonard and I planned things so he would be a hero.
When did you and Leonard plan he'd be a hero?
Right after everybody claimed I murdered Joe Firpo. Right after Al Baker had offered $100 reward for the one who caught me. That seemed unfair. I hadn't murdered Joe or anybody else. But when $100 is offered as a reward, guilty or not guilty, somebody's going to get caught.
You're right.
So Leonard and I cooked up a plan. He's my friend, so he ought to benefit too.
Well, you must be very kind.
Oh, it was nothing. These clothes I'm wearing, they're old ones he gave me. He had to take mine back to the village as proof he'd killed me.
Sure.
Boy, I'd like to have seen Leonard when he was called a hero.
Why, I thought ghosts saw everything.
Not this. Leonard told me about it when he brought back my half of the reward. The reward was $100. I got 50, he got 50.
Oh. Bill, you took half. Bill, you're not a real ghost. You're only pretending.
Who says I'm not a real ghost?
Well, if you took
the half... people in town? Oh, no. They'd lock their door as soon as they saw me coming. And my own mother. I went to see her last night. And do you know what happened?
No.
I put my head in the door. Mama, I said. That's all. Just Mama. And Jane... Did you ever see a woman run for the church like a deer?
No, never.
You should have been with me last night, then. My mother got to church quicker than if she had taken a horse.
Well, if everybody says you're a ghost, I guess you are one.
Yep, I am. And I haven't told you the worst part yet.
Tell me the worst, Bill.
One of the reasons I let Leonard be a hero was so I could get half the reward. I wanted to buy some land of my own. That's always been my ambition, to have just enough for a little garden. But I was so surprised to see my mother going that fast, I dropped the $50. I lost them.
Well, didn't you go back and search for them?
Now, miss, do I look like the kind of a man who would make his mother run for the church twice?
Oh, no, Bill.
Not even if I never accomplished my ambition.
Bill?
Well?
I could go to your mother. She wouldn't be afraid of me.
You could ask her if she found my $50.
Why not?
Jane! That's wonderful.
I will, Bill. I'll go right now. And you needn't be afraid. I'll be good to your mother. I'll treat her as if she were my own.
Jane!
Is there something else, Bill?
Well, you complimented me about my arm being solid.
Oh, very solid.
You said I was kind, and just now you told me you'd treat my mother like she was your own.
And I will, Bill.
Well, I... Jane, look. The only ambition I've got is one for a very small piece of land. With a house and a few animals. Nothing more. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, sure. You're trying to tell me you don't want to fall in love or be married.
That's right.
Well, very few men do, Bill, and until a girl puts them in the right mood.
I'll come back as soon as your mother gets me the $50 bill.
Jane, did you get the $50? And how's my mother? Is she anxious to see me? Here, I'll help you down.
Thanks.
You did see my mother.
Bill, I've not only seen your mother, but I've also been to church and had a talk with a preacher.
Good. A few prayers might help at a time like this. Now, where's the money?
It was your mother who took me to see the preacher, Bill.
My mother's a good influence on anyone. You have the 50?
And why do you suppose she took me to the church?
Why? Well, because...
Because I told her I'd seen you. She thought I was bewitched.
Bewitched?
Bewitched.
Oh, trouble.
When I said I had an appointment to meet you again. Well.
Bad, huh?
Awful.
Well, what did the preacher tell you?
The same thing he told your mother last night. That it's impossible for anyone to see a ghost.
Did you argue with him?
No.
Oh, I wish I'd never been killed.
Well, you weren't really, were you?
No, but who'll believe that?
Well, maybe if you went to the church yourself, I could go with you and we could tell the preacher.
No.
We could tell him the truth, Bill.
No, the preacher's a good man. He's already held funeral services for me. And if I marched in there now, alive, how would it look?
Yes, you're right.
Of course, I don't want people thinking you're bewitched. That... Jane, I know a way to get my $50. A terrible way, but a good one.
Go on.
Rob my mother's house.
Bill!
Oh, this won't be a real robbery. I'll be taking my own money. And even if my mother should see me, she'll never admit it, because she believes people who see ghosts are bewitched.
But what if someone else sees us? We'll be put in the hoosegow.
A ghost? Who would try putting a ghost in jail?
But I'm not a ghost, Bill.
You? Are you coming along?
I have to. Even if you find the $50, no one would sell land to you.
I never thought of that.
I'm the only one who knows you're not dead. I'll have to buy it for you.
Jane.
Yes, Bill?
You're being very good to me. But is it because you're trying to put me in the right mood?
Oh, no, Bill, no. Well, come along. Let's go rob your mother.
Inside this trunk. She keeps her money in a paper sack inside the trunk.
Go ahead. I'll hold it open for you.
Here. Ah, my money must be here. The bag's full.
Oh, hurry up.
Look, knots. My mother always ties terrible knots and strings that go around things.
My fingers are strong, Bill.
I've got it. Ah, here's the billfold I was carrying, just as it was when I lost
it. Oh, hurry, Bill. Hurry. Let's get out of here before someone sees us.
Sure. Okay. Let's go around the corner in the shadows.
All right.
Here, take the money. Go see Al Baker. You know the land I want right next to your father's. That quarter acre.
Bill, it's very late. Will it be all right if I wait until morning before I call on Al Baker?
Why, Jane, it is night. You're away from home. You have been since early morning. What did your father say?
Well,
oh, how stupid of me to let you do such a thing.
It doesn't matter, Bill. My father will forgive me. Someday, I think. Well, good night.
Good night.
Oh, in the morning, by my father's sheep. We'll meet there and I'll have your land for you.
We'll be back in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Strange Courtship, starring Miss Barbara Lawrence. But right now, let's listen to Van Desitel.
You know, it's funny how things change over the years. I remember it wasn't so many years ago that funny papers were intended for children, and most grown-ups were ashamed to be caught reading them. Today, I understand, somewhere around 70% to 80% of all adults read the funnies regularly. The same thing has happened with peanut butter. Today, from Maine to California, Mom and Dad eat almost as much Skippy peanut butter as the youngsters do. Yet a few years back, peanut butter was considered strictly a children's food. Grown-ups found it messy and bothersome to use, and they frequently found it hard to digest. New, improved Skippy peanut butter has changed all that. Skippy brings you peanuts, plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts, in their most digestible form. Skippy never picks a fight with your digestion. And in the matter of being easy to use, it's hard to conceive of a food product that offers less bother than Skippy. There's no oil separation, which means you never have to stir it. And it's always fresh and easy to spread, right down to the last spoon. spoonful at the bottom of the jar. If you and your family haven't as yet tried Skippy, I sincerely hope you will enjoy it soon. Whether or not you like old-style peanut butter, it's a fact. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Miss Barbara Lawrence as Jane in Strange Courtship. Once in our Southwest, a girl met a boy. Everyone believed he was a ghost except she, and she was only half convinced. They went in the middle of the night to his mother's house to get money he had lost there, his share of the reward the killer had obtained for killing him. They wanted it so he could satisfy his one ambition, buy a small piece of land. But of course, no one would sell land to a ghost, so the girl took the money and went to buy the land herself. Next morning, she returned to the boy, and sitting together on the bare ground, she related what had happened. Then she waited for him to answer, and waited, and waited, and waited. And at last he said,
I must have made a mistake somewhere, Bill. I tried to do right. Bill?
Well?
Are you mad at me?
No.
Oh?
Jane, start all over from the beginning. Tell me exactly what happened. Maybe I missed part of it.
Do you mean about the party not being over when I went home last night and how everyone heard my father ask me where I'd been all day and how they thought I was bewitched because I'd said I'd been keeping an appointment with you? Or do you mean the way the Al Baker acted when I wanted to buy the land?
The way Al Baker acted?
Well, he opened the door of his house and he said good morning.
Yes?
And I said good morning.
And then?
And then, oh, Bill, everybody believes you're a ghost except us. Do you think maybe we're the ones who are wrong?
Jane, touch me, my arm, with the tips of your fingers. Solid, eh?
Yes.
But ghosts are not solid. Therefore, everybody else is wrong and we're right. Al Baker needs to see a doctor.
If I were a man, I'd hit him on the nose.
A doctor would put him... You'd do what, Jane?
Especially if I were a man with a solid arm, Bill.
Tell me what he did.
Well, as soon as I told Al Baker I was buying the land for you, he began to shout, Bill's come back to haunt me. I knew he would. Then Mr. Baker shut the door in my face, Bill, and when I opened it and followed him inside, he kept saying you'd bewitch me and sent me as a warning that you were coming to haunt him.
Ah, he hasn't got a drop of sense.
But the worst was when I showed him the money. He recognized the money as part of the reward he'd paid. He got white. Then he pushed me out of the house. Then he started piling things against the door. I saw him through the window.
How can anybody do business with a man like that?
Perhaps it was my fault. Maybe I shouldn't have told him I was buying the land for you.
No, the fault's his.
But I had to tell him it was for you, though, Bill. It wouldn't have been honest to have put my name on the deed, especially when your ambition is so small. I mean, the land will be yours, and yours alone.
The people in town thought it was very big of Al Baker to offer the reward for killing me after I murdered Joe, which I didn't do. They thought it was real big of him because Joe was Al's enemy. Joe married the girl Al was in love with.
Helen, you mean?
Well, I don't think it was very big of him.
He has a monstrous nose, Bill. Big enough for two hits. One for getting you into this trouble and another for being mean to me.
Yeah, but how am I going to hit him? I'm a ghost. I can't go to his house. Besides, he's bigger than I am.
Well, you could scare him first, Bill, and after he's scared, you could...
Yeah, just a sight of me will scare him. Sure. He'll get all weak.
A wonderful idea, Bill.
Wait. It's all off. I can't go into town.
Maybe I could get him to come out here by saying I'd only been teasing about being with a ghost. Maybe if I said my father wanted to sell his sheep. Maybe if as soon as I rode up with him, you could climb out of a hole in the ground like you were getting out of a grave.
Jane, I'll scare him half to death. Just as you ride up, I'll get out of a hole in the ground as if I were getting out of a grave to haunt him.
Oh, Bill, you're so smart.
He'll be weak with fright. Jane, ride back to your ranch. Get a shovel or a hoe or something to dig with. I'll scare Al Baker enough so you can give him a hit on the nose after I'm through with him. All I need is a shallow hole, Jane. Just big enough to lie down in.
I know.
I won't wait until you're right in front of me. I'll get up and start toward him as soon as I hear you coming.
Only one thing, Bill. Don't fall asleep. Or I might really have to sell my father's sheep, and then my father would like me even less than he does now.
Your father needs a hit on the nose, too.
Oh, no, Bill.
He doesn't trust his own daughter. He got sore when you came home a little late. And he demanded to know where you'd been in front of all of his guests.
I know, but...
He might have known you'd say you'd been out with a ghost, and he also might have known that admitting such a thing would make people think you're bewitched.
Bill, please hit only Al Baker on the nose.
Well...
I think you'd better rest now so you don't get sleepy.
Very well.
Sit down, Bill.
Hmm?
It's nice here.
Yes, it is.
What are we going to do after we hit Al Baker? I mean, what are you going to do, Bill?
Buy his land.
And after that, are you going to keep on being a ghost?
What else can I do?
Well, you could have a talk with the preacher.
No, I refuse to embarrass him. He's already read my funeral service. And then there's something else. If I'm not a ghost, Al Baker will want his money back, the reward. And that means I'll lose the land.
Oh, I wish there was something I could do to help you get over being a ghost, Bill.
You've already done enough. Jane, why did you stay with me all evening yesterday when there was a party at your house?
Why?
Yes?
Well, I just did, Bill.
You'd have had a much better time at a party.
No.
No?
No.
Hmm.
Do you like compliments, Bill?
Sure.
I do, too.
Oh, you're too wonderful to ever need compliments.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I think maybe I'd better be getting back to my digging. If I don't, I might find I've added to my ambitions, and I wouldn't want that.
I know what you mean. The right mood.
Where's my shovel? Now, here's what you're to do, miss. Bring Al Baker out here. When you arrive, say in a loud voice, "These are the sheep my father wishes to sell." As you say it, I'll rise up out of the grave and start walking toward him.
Al Baker, these are the sheep my father wishes to sell. Did you hear me, Mr. Baker? These are the... Oh! Mr. Baker!
Al! Al Baker!
Oh, Bill, what's the matter with him? Why did he drop to the ground like that?
He's a cheat, that's why. A big cheat.
Maybe he's dead.
Nah, he's fainted. He's nothing but a cheat. He knows I can't hit a man when he's down.
I know, but look how white he is.
I think I'll hit him anyway.
Oh, can't you wait until he comes to?
He'll be too weak then, the cheat.
Then we've gone through all this trouble for nothing. And I had such a hard time making him believe I was the only teasing this morning. About seeing you, I mean.
Jane, I won't let all your trouble be for nothing. I'll tear the sleeves out of my shirt, we'll tie his hands and feet, put him on his horse, and you can take him to town. Straight to the Hoos Gal. Tell the sheriff to lock him up. That'll be even worse than hitting him on the nose.
Bill! Oh, Bill!
Did you put Al Baker in jail?
Oh, wait until I tell you what happened, Bill. Oh, help me off my horse so I can talk.
Is it something good or something bad?
Well, he was over his fainting spell before I got to jail with him. He was crying, Bill, real tears. He said you were haunting him.
Me?
And what do you think happened when we got to the jail? The most wonderful thing, Bill.
Well, tell me. Don't use so many words.
Well, he got down on his knees and asked the sheriff to save him. He said he himself had murdered Joe. And when the people thought you did it, he offered a reward so they'd go on thinking so. He said he murdered Joe because of the girl they were both in love with. Oh, Bill, isn't it wonderful? And while Al Baker was crying, he signed the land over to you. And without taking the $50. I promised if he gave you the land that you wouldn't haunt him very often.
I'm breathless.
Me too.
Jane, do you know what this means?
You won't have to be a ghost any longer, and people will know that I did have an appointment with you and that I'm not bewitched.
All we need is to have my friend Leonard go tell the town I'm not a ghost. I'm not even dead. It was all a plan we made up.
You're right, Bill.
Go right away, Jane. Tell Leonard to get busy.
No, Bill.
What?
I'm not going.
But it is impossible for me to go. Everybody still thinks I'm a ghost.
I've done enough errands for you.
You've got to go, Jane, for your own sake. People still think you're bewitched.
Let them.
You have to keep on hiding.
Well, this is my father's land. I'll hide right here.
Well, Jane, I need a place to hide, too.
I don't intend driving you away.
But both of us? Well, us? To hide in the same place? That's wrong, Jane.
Oh, very wrong.
I can't go back to my own land. No sheep.
No, you just have to stay here.
Well, I'm glad now I didn't embarrass the preacher. I knew I'd need him sometime.
Do you need him now? Why?
Well, we can't stay here, both of us, unless we're married.
Married?
Sure.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Are you in the right mood?
Well, I mean...
You're using too many words, Bill. Are you in the right mood? Answer yes or no.
Yes.
Oh, Bill.
I always dreaded this moment, but it's not as bad as I thought.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Strange Courtship, starring Miss Barbara Lawrence, who returns in just a moment.
Unlike the old-style product, Skippy Peanut Butter needs no refrigeration to keep it fresh. In your cupboard or on the pantry shelf, Skippy stays fresh, sweet, and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Skippy, you see, is a new, improved peanut butter, free from oil separation, stickiness, and dryness. Enjoy Skippy in either creamy-style blue label or chunk-style red label. They're both triple-milled to a buttery smoothness. Chunk-style has crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Try a jar of Skippy peanut butter soon, won't you? Now, here's our director, Les Mitchell.
Thank you, Van Desitel. And here again is Leela Rogers with our guests, Barbara Lawrence and Johnny Fontaine. Say, kids, your performance has lived up to all of our advance expectations.
They certainly did. I'd like to say here and now that I'm proud of you both.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Rogers. And you too, Les. But after all, how could I help but be good playing opposite such a wonderful actor?
You know, that sounds to me like more than mere professional praise.
Well, it should. You see, Johnny is Barbara's leading man in private life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I might add that I'm very happy to play leading man to Barbara 24 hours a day. Just wait until you see the fine performance she turns in from Captain from Castile.
Oh, yes. Barbara was the much-envied young lady who played love scenes with Tyrone Power.
Well, it was all very thrilling, Mrs. Rogers, and you'll be hearing big things from Johnny before too long also.
I'm sure we will. I understand he's quite an outdoor man.
Oh, he is. He was captain of an Indiana swimming team, and he did some boxing in the Navy, and he's wonderful on a horse.
I did manage to squeeze in a little acting with the Armed Forces Radio Service. Although where acting is concerned, Barbara has a big head start on me.
Just when did you become interested in acting, Barbara?
Oh, a very long time ago, Mrs. Rogers.
I'd like to point out right here that this young lady is all of 17.
Well, Miss Rogers, when she was 5, a Kansas City magazine published her picture with a caption, "We recommend for Hollywood." At the ripe old age of 10, Barbara was in California modeling and studying dramatics. Then came pictures.
And now I'm an old married woman.
How long have you two been married?
Oh, we're celebrating our second anniversary.
Second month, that is.
And from the way you look, I think I can predict not only two successful Hollywood careers, but a successful marriage.
And before we go, we'd like to tell you what an honor it's been to make the first appearance on your series.
Thank you.
Good luck and goodbye, Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Fontaine. Next week, our star of the future will be the famous Swedish leading man, Frank Sundström, whom we believe will be a sensation with the fans of America.
Thank you very much indeed, Leela Rogers. We'll all be looking forward to next week.
Miss Barbara Lawrence was supported by Johnny Fontaine. Strange Courtship was written by Ray Wilson, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you very much for being our guests, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Next week, we continue our special series presenting a forecast of Stars of Tomorrow, predicted and presented by Leela Rogers. Succeeding shows will bring to the microphone talented and worthwhile stars-to-be, such as Frank Sundström, Audrey Long, Alan Hale Jr., and others. Barbara Lawrence appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the 20th Century Fox production, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Dan Desitel speaking. For the Skippy Hollywood Theater, this program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.